for being on time. Sorry, we're running a bit late. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time as we come before you. We bring all our requests, all our concerns, and we know that you're a God that is worth serving, and we will continue to serve you to the end of our days. Watch over everyone else. May the blood of Jesus cover you and keep you healthy, spiritually, financially, emotionally, physically. Be with us. Watch over us so that, Lord, we lack nothing. We thank you. We praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Sometimes you can prepare for a sermon, Winnie, but the things that happened in the last 2 weeks will change the whole thing altogether, and then you just have to deal. Worse than doing a trial. Do a trial, at least I know what I'm going to say, because everything, the documents are there. When I say Angela's a crook, I mean Angela's a crook. Doesn't change the fact Angela's a crook. It's all there. But when you deal with human relationships, a lot of things are just, you deal, and then 11 p.m., Silas will call me, and then we talk, and then a few things here and there. But today, let's start with something positive. Michelle is a client of mine. Michelle's brother passed on from the Tanjong Pagar BMW accident. So I know her from that. When she first came to me, there were a lot of concerns. She was one of three families. She got things together, and we recently settled the matter. It was in the papers as well. Along the way, I've always been telling her about God, and had a chance to know her and also know her mother and also the dad, and then, of course, there's the other family on the other side. I've known her for about 2 years. She has desires to go to Europe, and I think God recently has answered her prayer. I saw a letter from some Swedish university, and then she's going off, whatever. When you go over there, you still can dial in on, you know, oh, and follow us. If you don't, I report to the Swedish police. I know some of them. I know the commissioner say, can you just get Michelle to tell him? Kidding. But I want to tell you something that really happened that touched my heart. Recently, after we had a mediation to settle the matter, the family of the driver, meaning the driver and then the passengers in the car, after the mediation, they connected, and the mothers together, Michelle, family of the driver, and then the family of the passenger, meaning Michelle and the mother, they actually met up for a meal. You must understand the context. It's not like me and Silas and Winnie and Karen meeting up for a meal because we go back a long way. This is meeting someone. If you think about it, that's the driver's family. This is the passenger's family. Both of them lost a son. And it is, if you want to think about it, it is the driver's family and then the passenger's family. Would you want to meet? This is after we managed to get some compensation, whatever. Would you want to meet? Unless there's that grace and that ability to forgive that came through. So when that happened, initially maybe Michelle was not even supposed to be there, but she went together, mother. When I heard that, I said, do I have your permission to just share? I don't need to tell about anything else. I need to tell about the details, whatever. But that just that act of meeting, that ability to meet. I mean, I'm not sure whether if I had a whatever and I was in Michelle's house, I was thinking, wow, meet this person. Isn't it your son who drove the car? But they met and they had a meal. And she's been coming to church. Then there's Angela. Angela's the mother hen, just mothering her. Then the second mother is Esther, and then they've connected each other. I'm just so touched. Brian, isn't that what church is all about? And then Brian and Tiffany also. I've got this anointing of meeting people who have accidents, and then I look. Today, I just met another one. I was going to Old Bedok Road Hawker Center, and then I was driving. And then Karen said, wow, there's this person injured down there. Then, of course, me, actually, I'm capable to see, but I, being dutiful, I just drove. See, don't distract me. I'm driving. Be careful. But guess what? After 4 p.m., I received a call. And to tell you, to cut long story short, that fella who got injured is a friend of mine. I brought him to church and cell group before. So better be careful. You know me. There's a chance of you getting an accident. I'm kidding. But there are a few of you, you lah, Brian, Tiffany. And the best part is Brian and Tiffany also already got some, not a lot of money, got in some compensation. And then I connected this guy, and I'm going to help him. And there's a way of connecting him because, you know, we used to be from the same church together, worship, and then he went somewhere else, and there's some legal troubles. But that's church. As we come together, we help each other. There's always a chance to string people back to God. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that what we're all about? Even as we pray and whatever. And along the way today, there's some announcements that I would like to make, and I'm sure you guys know a bit of everything, but we just deal as we come. But I want to just share about Michelle. It's interesting, isn't it? When we talk about dreams, we talk about all the D's, the delays, the difficulties, and a few things that come along the way. We're seeing it come to pass. Don't say God didn't warn us. But the best part is when I had to deal with something that they'll talk about, the people I approached to help. I talked to Gan and then talked to Ivy, talked to Phyllis, and then Phyllis down in the morning, 9:45, sent me a really sweet WhatsApp and said, I've been praying and you know, and this kind of thing. Cindy also don't know, right, Cindy? Huh? Only watched Manchester United her, but then she sent me this thing to just encourage me. I think this is church. This is what it's all about. So I want to just encourage. And then you talk to people like Nyam, people like Nyam. Nyam is so marketplace until I so blur. She said, don't worry, it is what it is. I hear this, it is what it is all the time nowadays. It is what it is. When I said, don't know what else to say, I'll just say, it is what it is. And then she'll tell me steady, is this God, what God wants you to do? Just carry on. So I'm very touched, apart from the fact that a lot of things are happening and I know that God's in control. So I want to just encourage us to send a message. And then later, closer to about at the end of the service, let me just tidy up and a few things I want to share. Next week, Silas will want to really wrap up on dreams, but I don't know about you. I was in Malaysia last week. I was playing the Malaysian Bar, the Lawyers. I played two games on Jordan. I played for the veterans above 50, and then I also played for the Lawyers above 38 years old, meaning that I'm 56, I can play for both. Does that mean I'm a very good footballer? What do you think? And I played both. I played 50 minutes for one, and then after that, I went over to play the 30 minutes for the other one. And then when I played for the one above 38, right, we won 2-1. There's this person who left-footed cross, and then they scored the winning goal. Who's the one who crossed? You want to see video? But I tell people, we serve God. God will put you up there. He won't disgrace you. You understand? For a 56-year-old to play in the above 38 game, and a lot of lawyers sell football one. But your Uncle Joe here is the one who left-footed sweet cross and somehow the ball dropped like a D24 Durant. The fella shot and went in. This is also church. We serve God, but God allows us to have some recreation. But you pay a price. Do you know how bad the jam was in Johor last week? I didn't take bus. Those of you who say take bus, no, you drive. You know, there's this area whereby all the human beings have to go through the bus, whatever, to go there. Right? Once you drop a bus and go there. My friend there, all these senior lawyers are stuck there for, you know how many hours? 6 hours. Standing, not even a car. If Winnie was there, Winnie's hair would turn white, you know. 6 hours, Winnie's hair would not turn white because, you know, she's got this very good shampoo and everything. But 6 hours down there, stuck there, there's no chance. You just have to wait there because you're already committed in the queue, you can't move. I went in Saturday morning, 6:30, I told my friend he can join me. But even then, I took 3 hours to get there. Then after I go there and then score, assist in the goal. But I heard about Gan's testimony. Who heard about Gan's testimony? Were you blessed? I know of someone who's so blessed that the person sent Gan this message and say, I thank you for doing this while you are going through pain. And the person said, I thank you because I feel God and experience God. Isn't that what it's all about? Despite all the things we go through, and to be real, if you don't have any problems in life, I'm not sure whether you have someone worth listening to. Now, do you know why I keep listening to Rick Warren? Because Rick Warren has a story to tell. The son took his own life and he still served God. And he says, actually, the growth for me, if I hear all his videos, the growth is because he keeps on clinging on to God, notwithstanding the things he has to go through. He keeps on doing God's work and you see him, God is just using this man, notwithstanding, despite of all he's going through. So I want to encourage us, when things take a pivot here and there, turn left and right, but also, isn't that the word of God? In your heart, you may have a meandering path you plan, but who determines the steps? It is God. So I want to just leave that as a thought, even as we go there. Today, I want to wrap, and I will have about 30 minutes, and then we'll take it from here. I want to talk about a final D, a dead-end street. As we come before God, before next week, Silas will come and wrap up. I want to talk about the fact that as you come before God, sometimes a lot of things, you have to come to the dead-end street before you see His glory. Exodus 14, 13, 14. We've gone through this before when we talked about Exodus about a few months ago. Exodus 14 says, don't be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that God will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. That was when they came to the parting of the Red Sea. God made it clear to the Egyptians that, you know, the Pharaoh and the chariots are coming after you. Guys, when they were running away, were they on chariots? Never thought about it before. When they were running away, did they have BMWs? Or were they just walking and running as fast as they can? I don't think they have any, whatever. These are all your Jews running away, right? Think about it. Did they have anything? I don't think, man, they're just walking away and God parted the sea. The ones who are chasing them are on chariots. So they are bearing down on you, but they were still safe. I never thought about it. That's the best part. Sometimes the things I say, I wouldn't know that I would say it. But think about it, Angela. Parting the Red Sea, the Jews are going. You are walking as fast as you can. But when the palace come behind, zoom. Red Sea shut, chariots. Water come in, flush. Decimated. The Lord will be with you, but you just come to a dead end street. When they came to the part where they're saying, could they see the chariots behind them, Phyllis? Could they tell the chariots are coming by, bearing down on them, closing the gap? It's like a tortoise and a rabbit, and they're closing down, but God delivered them. That's the final deal to know. God will deliver. But sometimes, you, before He delivers you, you come to the dead end. The dead end for them was seeing that, shoot, they are just behind us. We're going to die. These are the people who grumble again. Remember, we talked about a few years ago, grumble against Moses, but God was going to deliver them. And God will deliver you at your point of need. So when you reach the dead end, I want to say to you, you just have to be still. Isn't that the word of God just now? But you still have to do your part. Get to the dead end. Get to the dead end. In this case, they had to go to the part whereby God was going to deliver them and part the Red Sea. But your job is to get to the dead end, correct? God is not going to be able to help you if you don't go to the dead end. So I always tell people, your job is to go all the way. And God, at His time, will lift you up of obscurity, will help you, will rescue you, will deliver you, will send help. But your job is to go to the dead end. And sometimes, by going to a dead end, Tiffany, it is not very normal. Who likes to go to a dead end? If I tell you, Silas, go to the end, Ngyap, go to the end, and then you see the end is a no entry sign, but I say, or God says, still go. But when you go to the dead end, the sign disappears and then you can go. That's what I'm talking about. Your job, ironically, is to go to the dead end. Some people don't get it. Some people think there is a dead end. I don't want to go. I see a mile away to end. I know secularly, sometimes humanly, it doesn't make sense. But in God's kingdom and economy, things don't work like that. Our job is to hear Him and go all the way. And when you go all the way, suddenly the Red Sea parts for you to go, but once you pass, the Red Sea closes so that the people who are boiling down on you, going at 300 kilometers per hour, will not be able to touch you. Does it make sense to you? That is what is required as we come before the Lord. Come to a dead end yourself, but know that God will deliver you. I want to spend some time on Abraham, and if you can toggle with the book of Genesis, your Bible open, I want to talk about Abraham. Abraham is a good example of someone who comes to a dead end. Today, I play with Abraham. Abraham is called the centurion. At 100 years old, plus minus one, things were happening to him. Go to Genesis. If you toggle to your Bibles, let me use my manual one, easier for me to flip. Go to Genesis 17. Go to Genesis 17. Why, Kyong? When Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me. I will make my covenant between you and me, and I'll increase greatly your numbers. And then God says, no longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will now be Abraham, for I've made you a father of many nations. Not only did God change the name of Abraham to Abraham. If you look at Genesis 17, I was just reading this morning, he also got asked to change the name of the wife. God said also to Abraham, verse 15, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, her name will be Sarah. And this is the part that befuddled them, bamboozled them, blew their mind. Verse 16 says, I will bless you and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless Sarai, now called Sarah. She'll be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. This is talking to someone, Jolene. Imagine, Jolene, God talking to you when you are 90, because it's minus 10. Abraham, your husband, Don, is 100. Just a touch below, God says, I will bear you. I will ask, I will have you have a son. Then God said, yes. What does Abraham say? When God tells you that. When God gives you a dream, sometimes the dream sounds so ridiculous, you don't even want to think about it. So what's the response that you see here, Tiffany? Abraham fell face down. What did he do? He laughed. My Hokkien not the best, but nowadays I don't know why my Hokkien is improving. Is it called amchio? He laughed. Even my wife is laughing at me. That means I'm striking a chord. He laughed, amchio. What kind of laughter is that? Angela? Angela, the Hokkien are not very powerful. Here, Abraham, when God told Abraham at 99, you're going to be a laobei, and your wife minus 10, 89, is going to have a son next year, which means next year when you're 100 and you're 90, you will bear a son. What does Angela, otherwise known as Sarah, last time used to be known as Sarah, what do? You laugh. What kind of laughter is that? Does the Bible tell you, Sabrina? But you think. What kind of laughter? Is it the kind of sardonic laughter? Very caustic, very sarcastic. Amcho. Did he actually believe it? What do you think, Esther? Did he believe it's going to happen? Phyllis says no. Do you believe that Manchester United will win the Premier League? No. Right? No. Answer is no, it's not going to happen. She laughed. And when she laughed, we've got a problem. They didn't believe. He laughed and said to himself, the answer he gives tells you the kind of laughter, Wai Kiong. Will a son be born to me, the Lao Kok Kok, at 100? Will Sarah bear a child at the Lao Kok Kok age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under the blessing. Ishmael was born in chapter 16, verse 16. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar, the woman, bore him Ishmael. God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. So God, despite our friend laughing, God says, but you will have a son. But God is so gracious. Son. Not only does God speak to you. I mean, if God speaks to you, you still don't believe, you laugh, never mind. God will come again, Owen and Sharon, and God comes in chapter 18. And I didn't see it until today. Genesis chapter 18, my title says, The Three Visitors. God sent three other visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham, right? In Genesis 18, one near the great seas of Mamre. And then after that, he saw three men. Three men standing nearby. In verse 2, Abraham extended hospitality and so forth, gave them some whatever drinks, whatever you, and get them the finest flour and knead it and bake home bread and so forth in verse 6. And then now these people come to him and they ask in verse 9. Genesis 18, 9. Where is your wife Sarah? They ask him. There in the tent. And then one of them. These are real men, right? So in Genesis 17, God himself said to Abraham, isn't it? But Abraham laughed. God still says, yes, but your wife will bear your son. But God is so gracious. In chapter 18, sends three visitors. When I saw this, remember me of the people who went to see Jesus in the manger. Send the messengers, and here he says, where's your wife Sarah? They ask him, there in the tent. Then one of them said, Genesis 18, 10, surely I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And when they said, Samula, that's why I tell you, if I were God, a lot of people would have died. I tell you so many times, you still don't understand. I tell your husband to understand. Now, I tell you, within the earshot of the wife, what does the wife say? You go down. I didn't see it until today. Now the wife in Genesis 18, 10 was listening at the entrance, and then, which was behind him, Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So what was, verse 12, what did Sarah do? What did he do? Also laugh. Also laugh. A womb at 90. Have you seen a person with a womb at 90? Give birth. 50, 50 something. I still hear for 90 years old. What does Sarah do? So Sarah also laughed as she thought, I'm worn out and my Lord is old. Will I now have this pleasure? And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is Lord telling Abraham, God, I told you you have a son together with Ivy who just came in and sitting behind. Ivy's 90, 100. You have a son and then you laugh and then she also laughed. Did I not tell you that it's going to happen? Is anything too hard for me? The Lord, I'll return to you at the appointed time next year and Sarah will have a son. Sarah panicked and she's like, I did not amcho. Genesis 18, 15. But he said, yes, you did. It's interesting, huh? So both Abraham and Sarah had to come to the dead end. At 99, before become 100 the father, and 89 before 90 become the mother. They came to the end themselves. They thought it was not going to happen. They laughed. If you don't give them out, they were just sarcastic, or maybe they're just thinking, how to be. It's like, for example, I go to people like someone, let's say, Wai Kiong, and say, Wai Kiong, you're going to be the next chief of army. Then Wai Kiong say, laugh. Example. But people like Silas never laugh, no? When God told him he's going to be the CEO. But maybe Silas is Teochew, Haolian. No, that's not the point. The point is when God tells you to do something, you must listen to God, and God is going to make it come true. Your answer is, yes, sir. God, if you want it to be done, it will be done. Do you understand? So this is what they had to come through. They came to the dead end, and God was going to do it. And at 99 years old, they had that problem of disbelief. Now go all the way to Genesis 21. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. This is grace for you, because notwithstanding the fact that husband and wife both laughed and didn't believe, the Lord was going to do it, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. And listen to this, Genesis 21:2. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. And I like this, at the very time God had promised him. It's important to know. God said it, and God also told you the time. God didn't tell Abraham, Sarah, y'all don't worry, lah. Y'all just try. Lah. Maybe within the next 5 to 6 years, y'all get a son, you know, but we see how. Lah. No, God said, next year, this time. And after God said it, what did he do? God sent 3 visitors to come and double confirm. Does it make sense to you? That's from God. He wants you to do something, he will come and tell you and encourage you. I'm very encouraged. When I do something, sometimes I think, well, God, you sure you want me to do this? Silas, every time, last few weeks, keep telling me, see, how? Want to start a church, right? Then we all laugh. Because we know that sometimes when you do some things, you have to pay a price, there'll be difficulties. But God told us to do it, we'll do it. But along the way, God will send encouragement, and God will lead you to the place where he wants you to go. And this is what happened to them. They came, and God promised, and God did what he said he would do, and God did say what he will do, and God also said when he was going to do it, the timing. Isn't that great? God was going to do it. Michelle, you will go to Europe. You want to go to Europe? Can. You want to go, right? And this is the time you will go. God planned it for you. If God wants you to do something, or God allows you to do it, it will happen. So Sarah became pregnant, and Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son. And this is the first point I want to say. Dead end, but when the son came, you'll be so happy. So now, guess what? You're 100, gun and IV, you got Isaac. You play Isaac, you know, go to the swimming pool, the condominium, play. But 1 year later, God now tells you, Genesis 22. Sometime later, I think about 2 years later, God tested Gun. Gun! Gun says, here I am. God says, take your son, the one that you've been playing swimming pool on, Genesis 22, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Can you beat that? Very clear, God. Gun, take your son. Who's this son? Your only son. What kind of son is this? The son whom you love. Who is this? Isaac. Take him, go to the region of Moriah, and then sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. On a mountain, I will show you. Does it blow your mind? First, you had to go through so many hoops to be a father at 99 to 100, 89 to 90. And after 2 years of playtime now, God says, Gun, give me Isaac. I'm taking away. What does Abraham say? He probably learned a lesson. Do you think he learned a lesson from the fact that he became a father at 100? Did he learn a lesson? And this time when God tested Abraham, chapter 22, my version says Abraham tested. Did Abraham pass the test? Answer? This time, did he pass the test? He did. Gun didn't turn back and say, are you sure now, God? You make me a lao pei, lao kok 100, and now you're taking away in 2 years' time? No way, Jose, I'm going to keep him. No, his answer is what? Yes, sir. What did he do? He take lock, stock, barrel, went straight up towards the mountain. Guys, we need to learn something. If you don't learn the first time, you'll come a second time. But thankfully, he learned the second time, and he went through with it, and God was going to use this man. Because God made it very clear, you're going to be the father of many nations. Isaac is going to be the genealogy when this happens. So the sacrifice at 101 was the other thing he had to come to the end himself. Think about it. If you have a son for 2 years and you got it was a real miracle, would you give your son? You will never give your son. But he did, and he didn't. He didn't even question. You may want to know what's behind the psychic of this man. hit at 99, sacrifice at 101, both times dead end street. If I were him, my slide would say, God, you must be kidding. I think I'm hearing wrong. You don't intend for me to sacrifice my son. You've got to be joking. If you're not joking, I am selective, I'm tone deaf, or I'm hearing the devil. I don't really support Liverpool, but Liverpool's got this quite good coach. His name is Jurgen Klopp. The people that play for him, they play until there comes a point in time whereby he calls them mentality monster. You know what's a mentality monster? Here, very strong. Another person who's a mentality monster is yesterday's US Open, which I watched, Novak Djokovic. He's 36 years old. Yesterday, he beat one Brian Sheldon, 20 years old. See, rippling muscles, so big, lefty, playing so well. He beat him in 3 sets. How did he beat him? Can't be a 36-year-old faster than a 20-year-old, right? Just like when I play football, sometimes we can still beat people who are 30, 35 years old. How do we do that? Sorry if I sound like I'm very howling, you know why? Because I'm Teochew. Do you know why those people who are older can still beat those people who are younger? Because they are mentality monsters. There's something here they got right. Abraham is a mentality monster. So when that was suggested to him, Gun, give me your son, only son, the son you love, go to the mountain. Why? Sacrifice there as a burnt offering. It's not like very far, you know, Gun, take him there, don't worry, we'll see how it goes. No, take him there. This is your only son, right? You love your son, right? Take him there, go to Bishan Park, go down there, sacrifice them as a burnt offering on a mountain at Bishan Park. When you go to Bishan Park, you park your car, I will show you where to go. And you burn him. Can the instructions be any clearer than that? Cannot be, right? Would you do it? You won't do it? Abraham did. Abraham is a mentality monster. Now, what's behind this man? Because he thinks in Hebrews 11:9, he's thinking this: if Isaac is going to be taken, God will bring him back to life. So if God wants us to do something, if God allows some people to leave, God will do something else to help us. Think like that, then become a mentality monster. Not that you'll be deluded, but that's what's required, right? You are so strong here that nothing is going to take you off track from what God has asked you to do. That's a mentality monster. Abraham, you must be kidding. The first song is, God, I must be kidding. Abraham, this type of logic is okay. He's thinking this, okay, God, you want me to take my son? I will take my son. Why? Because if you take my son, right? And this is supposed to be the genealogy from which I become the father of nations. If you take him, you'll bring him back to life. So it's okay. I'm ready to kill him. Murder your own son. That's his philosophy. That's his thinking. That's what drives him. I talked about dilation of my eye the last time, right? Sometimes when you are doing God's dream, you have to wait. So while waiting for him, I want to just suggest a few things. Remember and focus not on what you can do, but on what he can do. Focus on what God can do, not what you cannot. A lot of things you cannot do. A lot of things I can't do. If Silas and I and God learn something, it's sometimes when we do something, a lot of things you can't do. Ask Silas, which is easier? Run a bank, run a church, or at a wake, take care of the cars that come in. I saw him. He sucked, man, at the wake. So many cars coming in, no place, no time, here to whatever, and then Winnie was not there. Winnie was just inside there doing her womanly duties. Friend Silas, and then the people, the best part is, I've never seen before in a wake, car langa. Have you seen before? A car hit another car. I never see before. But when we do God's work, you have to expect things to happen, right? Actually, I wanted to laugh at that time. Now, first time I see, people car langa car. Happens, right? But we still carry on. The wake has to go on, right? We're here not for the car. We're here to honor someone and to show respect. Remember, focus on what he can do, not what you can do. Remember what he said. So what did Abraham remember? He remembered God what said. So what did he do? He relied on the word of God. Romans 4:18 says, Abraham, when hope was dead within him, went on hoping in faith. What did he do? He relied on the word of God. I tell you guys, which is why it's so important to read the word of God. Read the word of God. Then be encouraged. Michelle, when you go to wherever God leads you, read the word of God. Bible everywhere the same. read the Word of God, connect with the people of the Word of God. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to start on the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, I tell you, it's a confirmation. God seemed to tell me, do a book of Daniel. And then yesterday, two days ago, Jolene, I met this guy from this church. I say, oh, then we talk, he says, let's say we're doing a book of Daniel. So, oh, our church also just did. It's a very difficult book, but we just did it. To me, that's a confirmation. We're doing the right thing. I want to tell you what I'm going to say in 2 weeks' time. You remember Daniel and his three friends? They were picked off to be in the royal court to serve the king, right? In Babylon. Were they very bright? They're very bright. They're very intelligent, very bright. But they wanted them to eat the king's food, correct? Eat foie gras, frog legs, and then drink the kind of wine that Nyap likes to drink type. But they say, no, don't ask me to drink. Why don't you test me? Give me 10 days, I will fast. If after that I look even healthier than those who eat the foie gras thing, you don't mind, I stick to this diet. They were in the king's classroom, but they were not in the king's meals. They were not in the culture, they were counterculture. So can you imagine, the four of them, they don't eat with the king and the king's other soldiers or students who eat one side. Who do they eat with? Themselves, right? Think about it. So Daniel and the three people, those three are the ones that are going to be in the furnace, where there's a fourth person who bring it up. Cindy is nodding her head. That will happen in time to come. But before that, and next one, Daniel was going to be in the what? Which animal will he find? The lion's den, right? The king panicked. Darius say, well, God, I hope Clarissa make it. Next morning, wake up. Clarissa, are you there? Yeah, I'm here. Your hair still have? I have. Not bowed out yet. The lion never bite me. I bite the lion. They survive. But before that, guys, listen to me. Daniel and the four of them, they were eating their own diet, correct? So who did they eat with? Answer, they ate among themselves. And when they eat among themselves, do they encourage each other? Yes. So I tell people, our meals are very precious. Don't go and eat with people, Wai Kiong, that are going to be there to say toxic things about you and then discourage you. What for? Correct, Angela? Want to meet me now? Eat me nice? Am I very encouraging? What are you going to eat with those people? I mean, if you are there to minister to someone that needs help, discipline. But when you want to be encouraged, when you want to do something for God, what for? You meet those people, say, oh, I don't dare do, I don't dare do. I'm already 100, I cannot do. Or you meet, you say, come, let's go. 我们加入一起做. So I'm very encouraged when I tell them a lot of things to do. People like June, people like Nyap. Nyap not only offer good wine, but she offer good encouragement and say, don't worry. Then the standard clause, it is what it is. And then we just carry on. I'm so encouraged. Isn't that what it is? Think about it. When they eat by themselves, all encourage each other. It's as if God was preparing them. Did they know in chapter 1 that they're going to face the furnace? They never knew, Owen. But they iron sharpened iron. By the time they came, they had many meals together. They study together. They do tutorial together. They go to clinic. Did they top the class? Of course. Did they eat the foie gras? Never. Did they drink Nyap's wine? Never. What did they drink? Water. And the living waters of God washed them. When hope was dead, he went on hoping anyway. How's that? Dead. You think about it, when you're 99, almost want to be gross. Your whatever you can produce, lao kok kok, how to produce? Dead. No hope. Went on hoping, he relied on the Word of God. That's faith. He faced the lao kok kok with faith in 4:19-20, whilst weakening in his faith. He's also human. While weakening in his faith, without weakening in his faith. When you are not weakening his faith, the facts don't change. You understand? The fact is that his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was also as good as dead. Make sense? That doesn't change. At 90 and at 100, whatever is supposed to produce as the man or the woman, the quality even it produces is far, far, far inferior to what a 30-year-old can do, right? But despite that, he didn't weaken in his faith. He did not waver through unbelief. He was in fact strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he said he would do and promise. Isn't that wonderful? So you've got to look at it from that lens when we do God's work. Don't be deceived, don't be discouraged, don't be disenchanted. Hang around people like Daniel and a few friends, all encourage each other, which is good, right? Michelle, when you come in the last few weeks, when you have a meal with Angela or Esther, are you encouraged? Or when you go back, you feel even more depressed, right? It is having that ability to spend time with the Word of God and the people of God, then you get encouraged. And then life goes on. He didn't weaken his faith. But we don't change the facts. That's why I tell people, when we try to change the facts, no, I'm 100, I'm still as strong as I was 30. Don't joke. Ah. Don't joke. At 56, I can't be running like a 36, right? But God help me, when the ball come to me, I swee one pass, the fellow score. It's all about timing. The ball come to me, then my timing just nicely pass. Want to see the video later? So it's things like that. You don't run all over the place because I can't run like a 36, right? But just being there and God's favors upon us. Without weakening his faith, face the facts. The fact is that I cannot run now, Brian, the way I used to be able to run when I was 26. I used to be called three lungs, Jordan. And the weekend, I played three games. I played one on Saturday morning, one on Sunday morning, and then one on Sunday afternoon. I was so crazy that last time I used to serve in worship, right? I will do the first service, I go and play during the second service, and then all sweaty come back to do the third service. That's how bad I was. Sometimes when last time I used to do service and do Chinese service, you see my shirt all wet, right? You know why? I went to play football, ma. But when we serve God, He will take care of us. Don't weaken in your faith. Strengthen your faith by being like-minded. When I hang around people like Gan, question. It's either he strengthened my faith, or I do the same, or he weakened my faith, I do the same. So what is it? When I meet Silas, of course, sometimes we cry, whatever, but after we end up always encouraging each other. Isn't that what's supposed to be? Isn't that the book of Daniel? And what the book of Daniel? Because the book of Daniel tells us how to live in a Babylonian world. What kind of world is this, my friends? Is it a Babylonian world? Meaning out there secular? Do people listen to you? I was just telling Yap, tell me what you learned from London, and didn't have the time to put her here. She tell me, they talk about people who want to be animals. I say, what? Then after that, in Straits Times, I should show you. In Straits Times, maybe Silas will look at it. About a few weeks back, there's this guy in Japan, Esther. You know what he does? He dresses himself as a dog. And it's a really nice dog costume. Silas, you see that? Really, really nice. When you look at it, you really think he's a dog. And then he dressed up very nicely. He paid about 12,000, I think, to buy that costume. More expensive than what Silas may buy for a t-shirt. Dog nicely, and then he puts himself on this, so I'm telling Angela, do me a favor. I'm a dog. Come, I dress up nicely. You know what you do? Every weekend, you take me on that trolley or whatever. You push me as a dog to Orchard Road. You leave me there, and people like Gunn, so nice dog, quiet, quiet. It's in the news. If a person can do that, you can imagine, therefore, they want to have a say in terms of their other lifestyle choices, right? Understand? I want to be a dog. Today, I feel I'm a woman. Angela, I am a woman. Tomorrow, I'm a monkey because I feel like a monkey. Or are you someone who conforms to the image of God? Man or woman, God formed them. Correct? Check it out. It's in the Straits Times. Very beautiful. I sent it to Nyap. The other I sent the thing to Nyap, I told Nyap, have you checked your dog? Is there a real dog or is there a human being trying to earn money from you? Because Nyap, you know Nyap, very generous, feed the dog very good food. I also want to be a dog. Guys, this is the society we have now. So I've got a question for you, right? Is this the Babylonian world? You do what you want, what you have. Is this a world of values of God? Who is the God of this world? Remember I talked about this? Who's the prince of this world? I leave this alone. So this is what we do when we face the things we need to face. While waiting for the dilation, for God's deliverance, this is going to be sound a bit controversial, but one day I want to talk about it. Can I leave this a thought? Expect God to serve you. Does it make sense? We should expect God to serve us. You know why? Because God came to die for us to serve us, right? He came for the sick, isn't it? So you think about it. Is it wrong to expect Wai Kiong or Yip? Is it wrong, Jonathan, for us to expect God to serve us? What do you think? It sounds very, wow, we're all very Asian, no lah, paisei. But think about it. Do you think it is right to say, God, I expect to be served. You help me. I've come to the dead end street, therefore you must help me. Does it make sense, Owen? Make sense? Think about it. Sabrina, I expect God to help me. When I come to a dead end, God, you bring me so far, you want me to do this, right? Suddenly, I don't know what to do. Can you come? God, help us. Some things, I come to the end myself. What can I say? When you go to a funeral, what can you say? What else can I say to someone whose family member has passed on? Today, I just received news. A 51-year-old lawyer helped my friend. Massive stroke a few months back, just passed on. Another lawyer, I also know. Today, I heard too. So when I have to deal with the things, it's like God telling me, don't worry. You see, there are people all also, their time is up, they've gone already. I don't know whether they believe it or not. All the things that you need to do, deal. Deal when you're still alive. Do what you need to do. I will help you. It's my dream you're forwarding. But along the way, we can, we should. God, you came to save, to serve. Can you please serve me, help me? I will say, wow, I now have to do all these accounts. I don't know what to do. Can you please help me? This is quite funny. I'm going to talk about this later. So Gan tells Ivy, hey, you got to do these things. So when I talked to Ivy at the time, Ivy taught she to do all the things, including everything else. Until she talked to me and says, no, I only asked you to do this part only. Maybe I should just keep quiet and say, yeah, you're supposed to do everything you do. But expect God to serve us. This is correct, doctrinally. But on the flip side, does God expect you to serve him as well? Okay? Don't look at it and think there's no two-way street. God to serve you, you have to serve God. Expect God to deliver you? Have to. Otherwise, the Red Sea for what? When you come to the dead end, Abraham, when God came to the last part, he wanted to tie the Isaac. God said, steady. Now I have seen what you are made of. And then, at that time, after he said that, from the bush came a lamb, the sacrifice. God, in his time, will provide. Expect God to do the magic and God will come through for you. According to your faith, Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. God's delivery standards. He comes at the right time. His timing, not yours. He always comes at the right time. Matthew 14, I think I still have a bit of time. If you have your Bibles open, go to Matthew 14, 22, 25. God comes at the right time. Matthew 14, 22 to 25, this is Jesus, went away for a while, left the disciples on the boat, and then he came at the right time in verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go ahead of him. After he dismissed them, he went to a mountainside to pray for himself. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them. When the disciples saw him walking in the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost! But Jesus said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. It was quite a number of hours. It was the later watch of the night he came. The disciples had to go through that time of being rocked by the waves. But God came at the right time. God didn't immediately, when the waves quickly comes, Tiffany, steady, I'm here. Cool the waves, walk in the water. He didn't. The disciples had to go through that period. You understand? It took some time before the disciples saw that God came to still the waves or to help them, right? But there was a time they had to go through. God allows it. God allows us to go through something so that you will see his delivery at the right time. His timing, not yours. That's why when we do something, it is always his timing, not yours. It was going to be God's timing. God said this time, and he promised, and Sarah had a son, Isaac, at the time promised when he was 100 and she was 90. God's standards may sometimes exceed even your expectations. John 11, Lazarus. When Jesus was told about Lazarus, what did they want Jesus to do for Lazarus? What was it? I got a question for you. Was it to heal Lazarus or to raise him from the dead? Which one? Heal, right? When's the last time you heard, can you please come and help? Can you raise the person from the dead? Or it was Jesus who was asked, can you go and heal? But God didn't go there to heal. God's going to come and raise Lazarus from the dead. So sometimes God's standards may even extend and exceed what you want. Do you understand what I'm saying? So number one, his timing is perfect. And number two, it is God's standards and he may even exceed your expectations. Why does God deliver us? There's so many D's and D's. Daniel's den, I talk about David. David, too many. Goliath, we had to fight. Saul, who was after his blood, going after him all the time. The rebellion started by his own son, Absalom, and the rest. So there are too many to tell you about, but God delivered Daniel, David, all the D's, each and every time. God is a deliverer. He will deliver at his time, and his standards are unmatched. Proverbs 34:17 says this, his eyes and ears are on the righteous, his face is against those who do evil. Phyllis, can you do me a favor? Can you go and get Joe to come? Thank you. She knows about it. Psalms 34:17-22, his eyes and ears are on the righteous, his face is against those who do evil. I want to encourage you. When God's eyes and ears, it means that he's watching you, Angela, and he's listening to you. Isn't that very encouraging? Not only God watch you, God is also listening to you. His eyes and ears are on the righteous. Are you righteous? Righteous doesn't mean you're perfect, yep, but righteous, Stanley, righteous are those people who have a right relationship and walking right with God. His face is against those who do evil. I want to end by asking you, what do dreams do for us? After we talk all this, then we start thinking, God, why so siong? Do so much dreams or what? Huh, Angela? Why do you say, I just want to believe in God. Don't come and kacau me. Don't you do anything. I live my own life. Isn't that more convenient? Think about it. Yep. No need lah. The bank tells you, do this. What, still must go for this trip, that trip, go for whatever. No need lah, just do this part. Or somebody work for me, I'm a lawyer, I just do this part. But what if God gives you a dream? What if God's telling you to do something else? Why do we do so many things that we're supposed to do? What do dreams do for us? They give us purpose. God's dream gives us purpose. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention in US issued a startling report showing that suicide rates over the last decade or so have been rising in every American state. It raised the question of causation, why it is happening, why there are suicide rates, and of course there are numerous factors that feed into this troubling man. But I was interested to read an opinion in the New Straits Times, this author says, by this behavioral scientist that seems to offer some substantial insight. This is what the article says. Many argue that it's a crisis of mental health, that people are not getting the services they need. The proposed solution is better therapy, more effective antidepressants, and greater access to treatment. So those people with mental health, they say, you know, why don't you give them better therapies, better maybe more effective antidepressants, and greater access to treatment. This assessment, the behavioral scientist argues, is correct. And this biases. However, the suicide rate has increased even as people are seeking treatment for depression and anxiety, and even as treatment for these conditions become more widely available. An additional explanation appears to be needed. Why is it that people are still suicidal? So an additional explanation is this. As a behavioral scientist who studies basic physiological needs, including the need for meaning, I'm convinced that our nation's crisis is in part due to a crisis, listen to this, of meaninglessness. No meaning in life. No meaning. Tiffany and Brian, when you start working, maybe you start earning X thousand, and then the next year, another X hundred, and then whatever. So what? Work for 35 years every year increment? Is that all? And then along the way, get married, have two children, children go, 6 year old go kindergarten, after go to primary school, ballot, and then if you happen to ballot or buy a BTO, then stay whatever, go to whatever school, and then secondary school, or you go through train, ask people like Silas and Winnie and myself, through train, then no need to wait for 10 years after that, then go to go to what school, whatever, look for scholarship, and then get married, and then hold the hand, Silas will speak, and then bless the grandson, bless whatever, and then after that we'll become Lao. Or is there something else that drives us? We are a species that strives not just for survival, but also for significance. We want lives that matter. A life, a felt need of meaning in one's life that is required. And when people experience loss, stress, or trauma, it is those who believe that their lives have a purpose who are best able to recover and to cope with distress. People who have got meaning when there's loss, and all of us face loss. We face deaths, we face whatever, like gun head with the brother. When you face loss, it is those who believe that there's a purpose in your life that you're able to cope. Does it make sense? Whereas if you're meaningless, there's nothing. Meaninglessness, no meaning one. No meaning. Book Monday to Friday, Saturday, 5 p.m. finish. And then depending if Wing is here, I go for dinner. If Wing is not here, I go home, I rest for a while. And F1 come, I go 13th, 14th September, I become a marshal. And October, I do this. And then November, and then Christmas, I have a dinner. And then Chinese New Year, I do this, do this. Is it all? Or do we put things, weave in things that God tells us to do? For example, we say from 28th September, we do Alpha course. People like Wai Kyung will come. Hopefully you bring your friends. People, Jonathan, please come. I'm hoping you come. Tiffany and Brian, so that we impute meaning into our lives and then we touch lives. Michelle, please come. You don't come, I will write to the immigration and stop you from going to Europe. I'm kidding. But do we then put God's meaning into our lives? His dreams. Why do we exist in this troubled world? Psalm 50:15 says, I want you to trust me in your times of trouble so that I can rescue you and you can give me glory. God says to us, trust me in your times of trouble, and guess what? We're living in troubled times, more so right now. Why? When you trust me so that I can rescue you. When you're in trouble, Wai Kyung, God rescues you, and when we do that, what happens? You can give me glory. I end with this. Pursue his dreams. Last slide, please. Malcolm, thank you. Pursue his dreams. Bring glory to him. And in so doing, be part of history. The word history is his story. History is not our story. It is not your story. When we talk about history, it is his story. God's story. That's what it matters. We serve each other. Along the way, there'll be bumps, there may be disagreements. We can agree to disagree. And then along things, the things that we do, we just do. I told Joe to come back, and some of you may have heard, Joe and TG, the family, have decided to move on. Joe is very precious to us, Silas and I, and whatever, a lot of us have gotten to know her. If it sounds a bit sudden, yes and no, because I don't tell everybody everything. Silas and I have been dealing with this to get a gun for quite some time already. We try to work out things and whatever, but sometimes things just don't work out. You can even look at Acts 15, there's Paul and Barnabas who have such a sharp disagreement that they parted ways for a while. It happens. But then the key is then we end with a good note. So I'm thinking, God, can you, what's happening, man? As we pursue dreams, why do these things happen? I'm not here to provide all the answers. I only know something. God will direct us. I only know something. Joe's been very precious to us. I got absolutely nothing bad to say about her. We bless her and release her family. Later take a picture so that I can even send to DJTG. Good luck. And we're with you. And this is the best part. I think on 11 p.m. of our few days night when this came, I called Leon. Well, Leon doesn't sleep, 11 something. I call straight away, double blue thing. Oh, I can talk, yes. I told him, can you please help with this? He just said yes. Just say yes like that. After that, still can say all glory to God. And then you talk to people like Ivy. I don't know what gun tells Ivy. Ivy gets the impression that he has to do everything. And sure, I already carved it out. I say, maybe this part, Nyak, help us with the children ministry. Leon, help us with all this YouTube editing. And then Ivy. Ivy got the impression that he had to do everything. I should have just kept quiet and tell Ivy, Ivy, yes, you're supposed to do everything. Oh, Ivy, 你的老婆这样跟他谈一下. She also yes. No, in fact, it's he say yes for you first. And then you say yes. And then nyam the usual lah, you know. Because we send her to London now, we hear people want to be dogs, everything's okay with it. So I'm very, very touched. And then people like Phyllis, I told Phyllis, and first Sabrina, can you please, when Joe goes, right, she's still a friend, no? Me on the street, no need to pretend. We still can whatever. And I tell you, I've got this very, God has a very nice way of just encouraging me. And today of all time, suddenly, I'll cut long story short, you know, along the way, I know many lawyers. Some people have left and joined the firm. Those who left, suddenly, someone just said, let's meet up. So on 29, and just happened a timing, sui sui. I already separately arranged to meet another group because they want we play football together. There's reason to meet. Then the other group don't play football time, and that means those, you know, very unhealthy, only now drink time. They also want to meet. Suddenly, I just said, why don't we all meet up? And everybody say, okay. Do you know how difficult it is to meet 8 lawyers? Just like that. So it's like God telling me, don't worry, I will connect the dots. And what makes you think that some people may not, your paths may not come back again? I've got this worker who worked for me for 10 years, went away for 3 years. I had this person who had to leave. Then something told me, call this person now. I was on ECP, I called this person. I said, what are you doing now? I just left my job. Huh? I said, why you never tell me? Can you come back now? I said, okay, I talked to my wife. In half an hour, he says, my wife said, okay. He came back. If God takes away, He will replenish. That's the God I know. He will be with us. Can I have a look at the video? I don't know. This is such an interesting video. Just play a part of it. People like Silas may know the song, but let's see. Stop, otherwise Silas sit up and dance. You don't want to see that. This song is Michael Jackson, they call it Billie Jean. Oh, who knows the song? Tiffany, you don't know, please don't bluff. Cannot be. If you close your eyes, would you have thought it's one guitar? Never, right? You thought some, almost like an orchestra. Karen tell me, so you show this for what? And you know me, I still don't know sometimes. I say I show first, and then God, can you tell me why? It's almost like John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, but those that bear fruit, He prunes so even be more fruitful. It's like you come together, this is the main branch, but everybody plays on that stem. You understand? There's one guy knocking on the thing, dum, 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 playing the bass, then another one doing the lead, playing on him, and then the other guy sitting down there doing the thing, and then the other guy. Can I now just make a compassion. When I siao the time young, you know, there's that kind of van whereby a person drives behind him, there's a bit of a seat, right? So we will do this. When a person drives the van, right, the person driving, I'm the person behind. I say, you just do the pressing of the brakes, and then I'm sitting behind him. I say, I will drive. almost crashed, but that was 18 and 19, a bit siao. No license some more, but oh, can you cancel this part later? But when we come before God, isn't it everybody all coming together to play the music? I think this is what we need. Silas do his part, Gun do my part, whatever. Joe did her part, and the time is up. It's time for the woman. She served us a good 2 years. We really salute her. We have to do things again and to rewind, but like I say, it's okay. God will put things in place and expect everybody to just, please, show yourself up, form new relationships. People like Sabrina and Phyllis, all those prayer warriors, can you rise up? Those slides for today's prayer meeting done by Sabrina, next one will be done by Phyllis. Solid, right? You think I can do it? I only now talk. These people, solid, all the stuff. Angela, don't laugh so obvious, I can tell. But as we come before the Lord, may everybody just do your part and rise up. People like Brian and Tiffany may say, can you help out in the part, but the social media part, we need a few things here and there, Facebook, whatever, I may come to you. About people like Leon just saying yes, people like Nyap. Everybody just do their part. June will tell me no different from when before Joe became full-time, everybody did their part, right? Had to do your own cutting paper, whatever. Maybe one day God will raise another one soon, another person full-time. Joe came to me, I didn't look for her, she come to me. 2 weeks ago, I say, I think God is speaking to me. Can I become full-time? I say, 炸工 ma. I thought you see me because I did something wrong. You know, the kind of meeting, can I see you? You know, Jolene kind of sickening meeting. I always like to know something in the spirit. Immediately, they say, can you come see me? Then I say, okay lah. I'm thinking, well, this time died. You don't know why I said something wrong. But then she say, so maybe one day God will speak to one of you and you all may come to see me. Maybe Angel will say, hey, Daniel, can I speak to you? God told me to take over your job. You're supposed to retire now. They say, okay, 炸工 ma. But can we just all do God's work? I see the video. I know that everybody needs to play their part. If one pulls out, someone will come in. But it is, no pun intended, music to the ears of God. And today, I think God encouraged me. How people from my past can just come back and have a meal just to catch up. No malice. Nothing to say. Phyllis, I can even show you the email. Not email, WhatsApp, 9:45. Tell me, Daniel, I pray for you. No need. See, very good. Very good. These are the people I like. All only she only. I'm here to tell you everything she say, I agree. I got nothing to say. If you force me, I got a lot of things to say. But I'm not in the courtroom. I'm not here to take anybody down. I'm here to serve God. Does it make sense? So today, and people will ask me, hey, how come Joe's so special? Then if the last time got people leave before, why I never do this? Well, if I do this every time, I'm only because I think Joe is a full-time staff and we did even make her a pastor, right? I think that's the least we could do, to just release her and we take her. So I want her to just come forward. I want us all to just pray for her. And then we should bring this service to the end. And Esther, can you just come forward? And just pray. Okay, I'm asked Joe to come forward. And she's still got a couple of weeks. She'll be here. I'm sure she'll be feeling very sad with the children and whatever else. She will have a time to just say goodbye. I want to ask Silas and Gun to come. Karen come as well. Maybe Winnie. We just want to pray for her and release her. Ask God to just bless her and the family. Angela, do me a favor. Take a nice picture of us after that. Later. And then because. I want to ask you, just raise your hands from where you are, stretch out your hands. I want to ask you to just pray for her. Pray for her to be blessed, okay? We're not asking her, you're on your own. No, but pray for her that she'll be blessed. Can I ask Karen, some ladies, or maybe Winnie, just come, just lay hands upon her. I want to pray for her. Come. So I want to give us a minute. I want you to pray. Pray blessing, please. For releasing someone to do God's work. Actually, when people go, it's good, you know why? Open more doors, ma. You understand? So now she do something else. Really, from here, we open another blade. So we want to pray for her. She's a dear sister. Let's pray for her. Yeah, come. Father, thank you for Joe and for TG and the two sons being part of our church. We want to, in the absence of the head of the house, we want to pray for Joe. Lord, we thank you for Joe's life, for you use her for your glory. Thank you. And now, so that any Jesus, and we ask for forgiveness, and now in replacement, we ask for the joy of the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for a life, and this is another chapter, many more chapters to be written. I ask for Joe, just like for the rest of us, may our lives be a blank check, so that, Lord, you can write the name payee, you can take whatever amount you will, so that our life counts for you, and our life has meaning. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you, Silas, Winnie, Joe, Gan, all of us, friends for so long. Lord, I only ask that it could be a whatever comes forward, the friendship will remain. That, Lord, the application of love of God and to the people of God will not diminish. So that, Lord, we will still pray for each other. Pray for success and for prosperity. So for TG, for Joshua, for Caleb, and for Joe, Lord, the school that the sons will go to, what Joe will do moving forward, what career options, wherever you lead them, wherever they go, speak clearly to them so that they will go your path. So, Father, we thank you, we bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Take one. Take. Take. Come. Which year? Come. Son, last one. Last one. Good. Oh, Winnie haven't. The like that one. Like that one. Thank you.
Thank you.
So along the way, please, guys, this is not a funeral. we're still friends. I mean, of course, I also struggle. I'm so human. But I want to be a bit more like Abraham. I don't think so much. God, dead end. Seems like a dead end, right? Wow, why like that? But God will provide. Is that okay? It's very real. So I want people to see. So that's the starting to hide. I know some people say, wow, keep it quiet. And then next thing, the burns like evaporate. No need lah. How about we do it like that? Right, Sabrina? Make sense? So I think that's the culture we want. And may God bless us as we go. Let's worship the Lord.
Let's worship the Lord. Indeed, He's the light of the world.
And light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Indeed, He's the King of all days.
King of all days, oh, so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Became poor.
Let's worship Him.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. To bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Genesis 17:1, the Lord said to Abraham when he was 99, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. So I ask you tonight in Jesus' name, will you just appropriate that prayer that you will, because God is God Almighty, you walk before Him faithfully and be blameless, so that nothing can be said about you, you are blameless in terms of finances, blameless in terms of your integrity, blameless in terms of your motive, but you are for God and His kingdom. Is that a prayer for you to this afternoon and this evening as we bring this service in? If there's somebody you with no eyes looking at you, will you lift your hands before the Lord? I want to pray for you as I bring this service to an end. Father, thank you. You are God Almighty. We want to walk before you faithfully and be found blameless. So Holy Spirit, will you cause us to walk in faith? Will you cause us to pursue your dreams, to want to be blameless, so that, Lord, no colleague, no church friend, no ex-colleagues, no one can look at us and say we have done something. Even if we've done something wrong, Lord, may we make amends, may we reconcile, may we go back to the drawing board. So, Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Their eyes and their hearts and their palms are open to you. Lord, may they be faithful. May the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. And for I want to pray especially for those who we have marked out. We pray for Leon. We pray for Ivy. We pray for Nyap who are here. We pray for Phyllis and Sabrina.